out of this past year. We've changed the way we've shopped, we've changed the way that we cook, the way we've dressed, the way we socialize. We've changed a lot of things in this past year. A lot of things that we do in church has changed over the past year. We've changed the way we worship, the way we praise, the way we fellowship, the way in which we just have church in general. But last week we saw some of the things that will not change as a result of the pandemic. We saw that the pandemic will not change our preaching. Christ said in Acts chapter 1 that we will receive power from the Holy Ghost and that we would be witnesses unto him. And that message will not, cannot, and does not change. And that'll never change, regardless of the situation we find ourselves in life. The preaching of the gospel will always be paramount. The preaching in this church, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. And if we ever go through a service where Christ is not mentioned, or the blood is not mentioned, or sin is not mentioned, or his sacrificial death upon the cross is not mentioned, and if we go through a service where the Lord Jesus Christ is not lifted up, there is a problem in this pulpit. The preaching will not, cannot, and does not change. And the pandemic hasn't changed our parish. We saw that the Lord said that we would be witnesses unto him and to the whole world. That's still our parish. And if anything, during this pandemic, the world has come to us in some way, because we've been able, through the live streaming and through YouTube and Facebook and what have you, we've been able to reach people that we never would have been able to reach had this technology not been available to us. So the pandemic hasn't changed our parish. We're still to preach the word. We still have a church to minister to. We still have a community to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still have that message to go out to the whole world. And the pandemic hasn't changed our power. Christ said that the Holy Ghost would come upon us. That's our power. He promised us the Comforter, one who would guide us, one who would teach us, one who would show us all things, one who would give us the strength we need when we need it to live this Christian life. So the pandemic hasn't changed our power. So what can we expect the church to look like after this pandemic? What needs to change? If we looked at things that shouldn't change last week, what are some of the things that do need to change as a result of this pandemic? Look at Acts chapter 2, and we'll read verse 42 through to 47. Acts chapter 2. And we've got to 41. We'll read verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we recognize that many things have changed in this past year. Many things will continue to change even as we come through this pandemic. And we recognize that there are some things in our life that will never go back to the normal we used to know. But Father, we pray that as a result of this, we would be able to continue to preach your gospel, that we would continue with the work that you've called us to, that we would continue to be witnesses to those around and about us. And Father, we recognize that there are some things that will never change in this church, and the preaching of the word being one of them. But Father, we pray that there are some things that have to change, that need to change, that should change for the better, so that we might be the believers that we ought to be, that we might be the church we should be in this day and age in which we live. So Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Would you help us to have an understanding of your word? And would you help us to apply it to our hearts and lives? So we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So there are a few things that need to change. I think sometimes it's quite easy in any walk of life, when you're familiar with something, to suddenly start going through the motions. It can happen in relationships. You know, it can happen in a marriage. You become so comfortable with one another that you start to take the one for granted, and then, you know, that can lead to problems in and of itself. there are certain things we take for granted that we don't realize how blessed we are to have them until they're gone. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they were doing work on the water mains through, well, they've been doing it for ages, coming down from Mardi all the way down. I think they even came through Hopkins. Anyway, but there were quite a few instances, quite a few occasions where the water was switched off. And you don't realize how blessed we are just to be able to turn the tap on. You know, whether it's to boil the kettle, or whether it's to have a drink of water, or whether it's just to wash. It's incredible how much you take for granted, and you don't realize how blessed you are to have those things until they're gone. And I think in our walk with the Lord, we've taken a lot for granted prior to this pandemic. I think we took church for granted, the fact that we have freedom, you know, to come into the building. We read week in and week out from ministries like the Barnabas Fund and Open Doors, and we see the persecution of believers all over the world. You know, in Muslim countries, we see the Christian being persecuted. We're seeing Christians being beheaded. None of this is mentioned in the news, because it's not newsworthy, because it's just a Christian. It doesn't make the headlines. But there are thousands of Christians that are persecuted every single day. But we kind of take church for granted because we have the freedom to come into church. We have the freedom to be able to gather and worship. And maybe church, we had become flippant in our walk with the Lord. We had become flippant in our church attendance because it was like a take it or leave it kind of thing. You know, if I don't go tonight, I'll catch up next week. You know, if I don't make it to the prayer meeting, well, I'll go on Sunday. But that was taken away from us completely for the last year. We didn't have the opportunity to go out. But when we did finally get the opportunity to come back in the church, people suddenly started saying again how exciting it was to be in church. Let me tell you something. It should be exciting to be in church every time the doors are open. Not just because we haven't been for a while, but because we're meeting with our Savior. We're meeting with the one who gave his life for us. We're coming around his word. You know, Christ gave himself for the church. That's the purpose, that we're able to gather together in this way, to preach about him, to talk about him, to sing about him, to worship him, to praise him. And we should be excited about those things. And maybe there are some things we've taken for granted in the time leading up to this pandemic. So what should change then? What ought to change post-pandemic? Well, first of all, our devotion needs to change. It says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued in doctrine. These people were doctrinally sound. They upheld the truths of the scripture. We cannot and will not ever place enough emphasis upon the reading of the word of God, the teaching of the word of God, the preaching of the word of God. They continued steadfastly. They couldn't wait to open up the word. They couldn't wait to have the word expounded to them. And I think prior to the pandemic, our devotion to the Lord could have been a lot better. As a result of the pandemic, many people said that they started reading their Bibles more. They started praying more. They started even witnessing more. It was as if this pandemic was the shove that they needed to put them back on the right path, as it were, in their walk with the Lord. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Listen, we cannot place enough emphasis upon this word. This word is perfect, it's pure. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible is the sole standard for everything that we do in church. That's our textbook. That's our instruction book. That's our rule book. That's the standard. That's the plumb line. That's the litmus test of everything that we do in the church. Anything less than that is heresy. If we're making decisions that are contrary to the word of God, then we have a problem. And I pray that this church will always be a church. It always has been a church that has stood upon the foundations of the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, the one thing that we hear time and time and time and time again is fake news. Fact-checking. It's interesting that some of the things that are fact-checked, you think, well, haven't you got anything better to do? But that's what we hear, fake news, fact-checking. well, if people want the truth, then they need to come to the truth. They need to come to the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. It's incredible how people will embrace a lie wholeheartedly and yet will shun the truth of God's Word. The truth is contagious. But many modern congregations, unfortunately, have strayed away from the Word of God. The one thing that needs to change, not just in our church, in every church post-pandemic, is a devotion to the truth of God's Word. Is a devotion to studying and meditating the Word of God. Is a devotion to preaching the Word of God as it's meant to be preached. But not only did they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued in fellowship. Yeah, I spoke for a youth group on Monday night. There's a ministry called Truth for Youth, and they do a Monday night Bible study. And I spoke about fellowship on Monday night, and I just asked the question to the youth group: what is the one thing you've missed the most in this past year? Every single person that answered mentioned fellowship in one way, in one form or another. They missed being in church. They missed, you know, being together. They missed gathering for Bible study. They missed meeting one another afterwards. They missed just spending time together. They missed that fellowship. And that's something else that we have taken for granted. You know, we had the opportunity every Sunday night to go downstairs for a cuppa, to spend time with one another. And I absolutely love that. You know, people used to joke, don't you, when I was standing on the door, don't you get fed up? Don't you want people to go? Don't you want to turn the lights out? Never. I'm more than happy to stay in the church. And, you know, sometimes you wouldn't get out here till like 9 o'clock in the evening on a Sunday night. Praise the Lord for a church that wants to fellowship. But that's something we can take for granted. I don't know about you, but I've missed fellowship in this past year. I can't wait to be able to get back together again. I can't wait to have one big bubble. Bethany Bubble Church. Happy days. I've missed fellowship. And the one thing that needs to change is our devotion to fellowship. It's important. They continued steadfastly. Andrew mentioned it. I can't remember if you mentioned it on the Sunday morning or the Tuesday night when he talked about the guy, the minister who visited the old man who didn't want to go to church. And he said he didn't need to go to church. He didn't need that fellowship. And all the pastor did was took a coal out of the fire and placed it on the hearth. And that coal went from a glowing ember to a dull grey lump of mineral. And then the old man realized how important fellowship in the church was. I've missed fellowship. And that needs to change. When we're able to get back together again, we need to be on the same page. You know, in the early church, people loved one another. They were being persecuted. They were losing their jobs. They were being hunted because of their faith. And they were being forced from their home. They were poverty stricken. But the people in church pulled together. What an opportunity in moments like these for the church to pull together. And we've seen that happen over this past year. We've seen people giving of themselves. We've seen people giving sacrificially to help somebody else out. And it's been such a blessing. And that needs to continue. Because who knows how long the effects of what's gone on in the past year will last. The early church were in, it says in Acts 2:46 that they were in one accord. In Acts 4:32 it says that they were of one heart and one soul. Let me tell you something. Post-COVID, there is a potential for the church to be absolutely split. And you see it in some churches already. You see it in the States. I've talked to a few pastors in the States and they are struggling with some issues because of people. There's a potential for the church to split. Because you've got the people who think COVID is the biggest hoax on the planet. Then you've got people who think COVID is going to be the end of the world. Then you've got people who think that, yes, COVID is a real thing. Government and business might be overstretching in how they handle it. But we'll get through it. So you've all have automatically got through three groups of people. Then you got people who are anti-vaxxers. That's the mark of the beast. Well, if you read your Bible, you realize it's not, but that's besides the point. But you've got the anti-vaxxers. Then you've got the people who are desperate for everybody to have the vaccine so we can go back to normal as quickly as possible. Then you've got the people who want to continue wearing a mask for the rest of their lives. And you've got the other people then who think anybody who wears a mask is the stupidest person on the planet. I don't want to wear a mask. That's the only reason I'm preaching. Not because God has called me to preach. I'm only preaching because I can come to church and not have to wear a mask. Nobody wants to wear a mask. But if you've got to do it temporarily to keep other people safe, so be it. Stolen my head anyway, I'm getting off point. The point I'm making is this: there is a potential for the church to be split post-COVID. Let me tell you something. The devil's not welcome in the church. The Bible says, mark them that cause discord among the brethren. If you're going to come in here and cause discord, there's the door. There are plenty of other places you can go and ruin. They were in one accord. They were in unity. Our devotion needs to change to the point where we are head over heels for one another, to support one another, to help one another. Mental health issues this past year have gone through the roof because of what's gone on. And we need to support one another. We need to help one another. We need to love one another. We need to be on the same page. Our devotion in that regard needs to change so that we can get through this together. They held their faith in common. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I can't wait to fellowship again. But the one thing we as a church need to be aware of is those wolves that come in sheep's clothing wanting to cause damage. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. So be on your guard. Be on the lookout for those potential cracks. Because we need to be united. But not only did they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread. That was a common ground for the early Christians. They were excited to come around the Lord's table and to commemorate his death. And the Last Supper doesn't just commemorate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, but it also commemorates his return. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, this do in remembrance of me until I come again. How incredible is it that is something we can take for granted? And, you know, this is something I've preached on before. Communion is something that is done so much. Some churches do it every week. Some churches do it once a month. Some churches do it once a year. But there is such a potential to become almost blasé about the Lord's table. We know what he's going to say. Yeah, the bread represents the body. Yes, the cup represents this. Yeah, we know that. Come on, you tag this on to the end of the service. Let's just get it over with so we can go home. That's not what the Lord's table is about. We're commemorating something that the Lord gave up the glories of heaven to take on a human form, to come to this sin cursed earth, to die for our sins. How dare we come around the Lord's table and go, yeah, blah, 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 bread, the cup. You know, in the early church, it meant something to the believers to break that bread, to come around the Lord's table, to remember what the Lord had done for them. And I'll be honest with you, I've missed it. Those cups are great. But it's really hard to concentrate having the Lord's table when all you can hear is people opening their little plastic things. I know some of the older ones struggle. Can you, John? It'll all be over now on Friday when it would be back to normal Sunday. But I can't wait to come around the Lord's table again as normal. And that ought to be, you know, something then that we look forward to be able to break that bread and to partake of that cup to commemorate what the Lord has done for us. You know, we were nothing before we came to know the Lord. But we are everything in the Lord. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Our devotion needs to change post-pandemic. Another trait that marked these early believers was prayer. They continued steadfastly in prayer. They had an active prayer life. To them, prayer was important. It wasn't something tagged on to the beginning of the service or the end of the service. It wasn't something that they just did then midweek service. They prayed all the time. And they had to pray because their lives depended upon it. They had to pray because they were persecuted. They had to pray because they were in such dire straits. Let's be honest. The church is anything but a praying church today. You can't say that. I can. Because I can point you to a Wednesday night and you can look at the prayer meeting and it's always been the same. It's the same all over the world. Well, it's the same in most Western churches. Prayer meeting is just an add-on that we'll attend if we can. But that needs to change. Post-pandemic, our devotion to the Lord in prayer has to change. People don't pray like they ought to. Can you imagine if revival broke out today, we would not have to do with it? You know, if in the turn of the I was going to say the turn of the last century, then there was one before that, wouldn't there? In 1904, when the last great Welsh revival broke out and they were in churches praying till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, we'd have a fit. And, you know, many people are desperate to look at their watches on time. You think, how on earth do I do this now discreetly? Without the pastor seeing, can I get down below, pretend I'm stretching. I tell you what, you really struggle if you've got a watch that only lights up when you lift it up there. Can you imagine if revival broke out and we were in church praying till the early hours of the morning? I don't even know if we'd know what to do with revival. We pray for it, we ask for it, we want it, we desperately want to see it. But if it happened, we'd probably be frustrated with it because it would just go on too long. Churches might be better organized today. Churches might be more prosperous today than they ever were. The power of God is not on the church like it used to be. And that needs to change post-pandemic. We ought to be committed, devoted, when it comes to praying. We need to remember that Paul told us to pray without ceasing, to rejoice in hope, to be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, continuing prayer, and watching the same with thanksgiving. I really believe that the post-pandemic church has to place more emphasis on prayer. You know, I don't know how difficult things are going to be when we come through this. We see world events getting to the point where prophecy is being fulfilled literally before our very eyes, and it'll come to a point where as a church, we're going to have to depend upon prayer more than we ever did. Lots of people have said that in this past year, their prayer life has improved because of what's gone on. You know, and I said last week, if only one soul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior through this pandemic, worth it. You cannot put a price on a soul. It's impossible. But lots of people have said how much their prayer life has improved as a result of this pandemic. But post-pandemic, the church needs to change when it comes to prayer. John always used to say that the prayer was the powerhouse of the church. You know, Charles Spurgeon, I remember reading a story about Charles Spurgeon. Somebody asked him why his church was so successful. and before every service, literally hundreds of men praying for their pastor before the service, for him to get into that pulpit and preach. Prayer is not an add-on. Prayer is not an optional extra. You know, we didn't come to our Christian life and say, oh yeah, I think I'll take the luxury version. Yeah, we'll add, go on then. Yeah, add Bible reading to that. I'll take that with salvation as well. And you put prayer on, don't put witnessing on, I don't want to do that, so we leave that out. But you, it's not an optional extra. We're commanded to pray without ceasing, to continue in prayer. And the church needs it. Our devotion needs to change. Our discipline needs to change. It says in verse 44, and all that believe were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The early church were a true body in every sense of the word. There was a mutual concern for one another. The scripture says there is one body, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You know, we need to be disciplined when it comes to looking after the needs of one another. People are going through so much. We don't always talk, do we? We don't always talk. I've said this before. You know, we come in on church on a Sunday. How are you doing? I'm fine. You know, I'm sick and tired of phoning Dad in the morning. Dad, how are you feeling? I'm fine. And you know he wasn't, because he was in absolute agony before his surgery. And Mum said he wouldn't stop moaning and griping. But how are you feeling? I'm fine. And let's be honest, we're not fine, are we? Some of us are really struggling. And it's been hard. And that's okay. But we need to be there for one another. Our discipline in regards to bearing one another's burdens needs to change. Because it's easy to come to church to a prayer meeting and just go, oh yeah, we need to pray for so-and-so. They're in absolute, desperate need, and go, oh yeah, okay, I'll stick them to the prayer list, and then that's the end. We don't think about it anymore. You know, the one thing I've been encouraged about this past year are the WhatsApp groups we've set up. You know, when, and I can't speak for the ladies, I'm not on that group. I've been banned. They just gossip anyway. But the men's group is just incredible. You know, somebody asks for prayer and they pray. And then you get a text and say, you know, what's happened? Any update on that? What's going on? It's not just a case of, oh yeah, we'll pray and send a praying hands emoji and I've done with it. Men don't tend to use emojis much either, girls, just to let you know. It's like, yeah, we'll do. We don't go like praying hands emoji, heart, smiley face, wink, 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 heart, praying hands. It's just like, guys, I need prayer. Okay. Maybe a praying hands if somebody's got an expensive phone. John just sends a message with a carrier pigeon. But that's been really encouraging this past year. To see people not just praying for one another, but to see a genuine concern. And I need to carry on. We need to be disciplined in that regard. To make sure our body is okay. To make sure the church is doing okay. To make sure that we are keeping on and going on. And you know what? The world will see that. If they never hear our message, they will see the love that we have for one another. They will see the compassion that we have for one another. They'll see the work that we do for one another. And that's an incredible statement of our faith. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You could say that that's the calling card of Christianity. And we ought to be disciplined in that. And let's be honest, that's probably an area where Some people are really gifted. And there are some people who will not only pray for you, they will continually remind you that they're praying for you. But sometimes we can be forgetful in that area. And I think that's one thing that really does need to change. Because the effects of this past year are going to be far reaching into the future. And we need to be there for one another. We need to be there for one another now more than ever before. Because of what everybody has been through. And here's the thing. You know, we need to be disciplined believers, not just once a week on a Sunday. This is real. Our battle is real. You know, the Lord never promised us an easy life. And perhaps we've had too much of an easy life in that regards prior to this. But this is the real deal now. And we recognize that because of what we've been through. But we need to be disciplined, not just on a Sunday, every day of the week. Don't let your guard down. Don't just be a Sunday Christian who dresses the part once a week, but be a 7-day-a-week Christian. When our priorities are in order, when our hearts are right with the Lord, then we'll be where we need to be when we need to be there. When the people in church are spiritual, there will always be an automatic gravitation towards God's house and God's work. The early church enjoyed being together. I'll be honest. I really missed people in this past year. I even missed people that I didn't even like. And I didn't realize I didn't like them until I didn't see them. And I thought, oh, I actually missed them. And I've used it like that. No, I didn't, let me joke yet. But I really miss people. I can't wait for church to be back to normal. I can't wait to be able to fellowship together. I can't wait to be able to have extra services. I can't wait to be able to have fellowship downstairs, to be able to have teas and coffees, and to be able to go out and do barbecues, and to be able to go away on the men's retreat, and for the women to have their ladies' retreat. I can't wait for all of that to go back to normal. The early church enjoyed being together. And I pray that our discipline changes post-pandemic, where we not only enjoy one another's company, but we'll do all we can to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. And finally, our dedication needs to change. Praising God in verse 47 and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When you think of what the early church faced, they were persecuted, people were losing their jobs, they had the threat of death, they lost their livelihoods, they lost their homes, they were being shunned by their families. And with all of that going on, what was the early church doing? Praising God. Yeah, we might turn around and say, ah, yeah, but we got nothing to praise God for, you know, because of this pandemic, you know, this has happened and that's happened, and we've lost this and we've lost that. But I pray that our dedication to the Lord changes as a result of this pandemic. Because we recognize how, you know, I pointed up there because that's where she was sat this morning. Sophie said, oh, when we get back together and we're all allowed to sing, you know, can we just have a service where we just sing and sing and sing? And I can't wait for that. Except for Christmas. We're not having Christmas carols. December. End of November. But I can't wait to be able to praise the Lord together again. Can you imagine what that service is going to be like when we're allowed to sing as a congregation again? You know, the one thing that I've always said is that I think every single person in the church should come up here for one service just to see people sing in. Because the sight sometimes is absolutely mind-boggling. You think, what is going through people's mind as you sing about the blood, as you sing about what Christ has done, as you sing about what God has done for us, as you sing to him and you think you look like you want to be anywhere but you. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, he's not repeating the chorus again. Oh, happy day. But that's what it was like. You know, there were times when, I know, Mum used to say it, and I don't know if Auntie Elaine used to say it because she used to play too quick. Oh, and Steve said, you can't hear people sing. And I understand the acoustics in the church are such that it's hard when you're sat under there by the piano. It's difficult because most of the singing just goes up here. But here's the thing. I don't care where they play the piano from. I want them to hear every single person raise their voice and praise God. I want them to be able to hear us out on the streets. I want them to be able to hear us across at the spa. I want them to be able to hear us sing and praise God. Our dedication ought to change. That ought to be the desire of our hearts, just to praise God continually because of what he's done for us. They couldn't wait to meet together. They couldn't wait to praise the Lord. But we have so much to complain about. We have so much to bellyache about that that kind of takes over from the fact that we ought to praise the Lord. We have enough to praise the Lord. Yeah, but you don't know what we've been through. You don't know how difficult this year has been. But we can still praise God even with the difficulties that we've gone through. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. By him, therefore, Hebrews 13:15 says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God wants us to praise him. We ought to praise him. I'm not talking about doing anything wacky. I'm just talking about giving God praise. We don't have anything to praise God for. This year has been tough. Yeah, it has been tough. This year's taken a toll on people's health. Yeah, this year has taken a toll on people's health. Yeah, but you know, you understand the situation. Yeah, I know I don't understand everybody's individual circumstances at home. But with everything we've been through, we can still praise God. Why? That's why. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Let me tell you something. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you were saved by the grace of God, if you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, if you've applied the blood of Christ to your heart and to your life, and your sins are forgiven and that you are cleansed, you have enough to praise God for all eternity. No matter what we've been through. No matter what we've suffered, and that might sound harsh, that might sound tough, that might sound like an impossibility, but no matter what happens in this life, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which means that if the worst happens to us, that's the best that can happen to us. And that's enough to praise God for all eternity. And that is something that needs to change. Our dedication needs to change. Let's praise God like we've never praised him before. I tell you something now, the next time we come into church and we're allowed to sing, I bet you hear every single person singing, yeah, but I can't sing. I don't care. The Bible doesn't say you have to be able to sing. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that word joyful noise means to split the eardrums. You haven't got a musical note in your body. You better praise God with all your heart. Why? Because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If we go in to be all that he desires us to be, God has a plan for us in a post-pandemic world. We've got to acknowledge the fact that we can't do this on our own. That we need God's help. We need his power. We need his strength. We have to acknowledge our utter dependence on the Lord for everything. If we want to see the Lord move like we need Him to, then we have to have a desire for the Lord to work in and through our lives, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then for all of those things to be added unto us. We have to have our eyes open to the possibilities that God can use us in service in any number of ways all around us. Give our attention to become everything God saved us to be. The church is going to be different post-pandemic. How incredible that even through this difficult year, people have still been saved. How incredible that through this difficult year, people have still been called into the ministry. How incredible that through this difficult year, God has still been on the throne. That doesn't change. God's work doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. The witness doesn't change. But there are some things that need to change in the church post-pandemic. Our devotion, our dedication, our discipline needs to change so that we can be all that God needs us to be in a world that is going to look very different from the one prior to this pandemic. The church can still be the power that God intended it to be. Not if we do things in our strength. Not if we do things based on our programs and our plans. I want God's will to be done here in Bethany. Not because something sounds good or because somebody thinks that would be a good idea. I want God's will to be done. And there are some things that will have to change to fit into His will, not for our will to be done. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we pray that you continue to help us as we try to get back to some kind of normality. Father, we pray that you would enable us to minister to each and every one within the church that is struggling, that's hurting, that's battling. And Father, I pray that as a result of our devotion changing, that we would have that desire to be more fervent when it comes to studying the word, when we'd be more compassionate when it comes to fellowshipping with one another, that we would be more committed when it comes to praying, that we would have more excitement when we come around the Lord's table to remember all that you did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Father, I pray that you would help us, that we might change as a body of believers, as a church, for the better, so that the Lord Jesus Christ could be seen not just as a figure from history, but as a God who has changed the world, as a Savior who has changed our lives, as a Redeemer that has rescued our souls, as the one who died upon the cross to pay the ransom for sin. And Father, I pray that a lost and dying world would see the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our lives, that they would see Him here in this church. And as a result of that, they too would be changed as well. So Father, would you help us as we come through these difficult times, as we get back to some kind of normality. But in a way, we pray that the normal that we knew it as a church would never return. That there would be some things that would change forever for the good, so that your will be done here at Bethany. We love you and we praise you and we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Alright, I'm going to ask those who are singing the last hymn to come forward at this time.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, near a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary Mountain. In the cross, be my glory.
For this opportunity to gather together in this way, Lord, whether we're here or watching in online, Lord. We are just so thankful for your word. We thank you for your servant faithfully bringing us your word, Lord, and for the challenge that we've received this evening, Lord, that we might come through this pandemic as stronger, more committed Christians, just devoting our lives completely to you and to your service. And so, Lord, we just pray that we'll go from you with these thoughts really weighing heavily upon us, Lord, that we'll consider them as we leave and in the days and weeks ahead, Lord, and that we will act on them as well. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon us. We pray to bless each and every home and family that's represented here and online, Lord. And we just pray you'll be with us and bless us until we meet again. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.